Abba, Father, I confess that without you I can do nothing. But with your Holy Spirit working in me, all things become possible.
That's right.
So Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher this morning and touch hearts according to your will, according to your good pleasure.
Yes, God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you know how sometimes you read a little passage of scripture or even a single line and God just keeps bringing it back to your mind and back to your mind and back to your mind, and he won't let you alone until you do something with it, either meditate on it or chew it for a while, or in my case, I have to come and preach about it. And the line that he's been totally captivating me with is Proverbs 23:7 in the New King James, the Old King James, or the New American Standard. If you have a different Bible, it won't read the same. But I'm doing it from what my Bible says, because this is what the Lord has been, you know, prompting me to do. Proverbs 23:7, and this is what it says. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In the Old King James, or in the King James, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in the New American Standard, it says, for as he thinks in his innermost being, so will he be. And the Lord has been showing me, and I've preached about this in a different way several different times before, that the battle that we are waging in heavenly places is in our mind and in our thoughts. And we have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit and because of the DNA of regeneration that Jesus came to bring for us when he was slain on the cross, we have the ability to control our thoughts and to have positive things happen in our life because of the positive way we think in our mind. But I see people every day whose lives are struggle because they think negatively or they think things about themselves that may be true in the natural but are not true in the spiritual realm, which is a higher reality, a superior reality. So, you know, we all have what we think are good, plausible reasons for maybe not stepping out in faith to do the works for the Lord that we're called to do. We tell ourselves, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced, I'm not rich enough, I don't have intelligence enough, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not worthy. All these things that we're saying to ourselves for why we might not be doing everything we could be doing to push forward the kingdom of God. But I remember Chuck Swindoll saying about attitude that he's convinced that our life is 90% attitude and only 10% circumstances. And yet we spend so much time focusing on the circumstances instead of dealing with our thoughts and in our minds how we can control what's going on in our own little sphere of life. And in the book of James, chapter 2, if you'd like to go there briefly, James chapter 2, most people think that this James is the James who was the brother of Yeshua, the James who wrote this book. And in verse 17 of James chapter 2, It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? When Abraham, our father, was not justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. How many want to be called the friend of God? Yeah. So, we need to have in our, we need to exercise every day the ability to control our thoughts, because as you think, so shall you be. And one way that I've found that works really, really well to have control over negative thoughts is to replace them with some truth from the Word of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and for taking every thought captive to Yeshua, to the obedience of our Lord. Let's read that. It's 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah. And you see, that's what you're doing when you say, I'm too old to do it, or I'm too young, or I'm too fat, or I'm too inexperienced, or I don't have enough money to do it. You're thinking disobediently to what God is calling you to do. Because God doesn't call those that are best equipped. He equips those he calls. And if you're called and you're not trusting him to equip you and you're thinking negatively about why you can't do what you're called to do, then you're having a high thing come against your best destiny in the Lord, and you need to take obedience over that and take it captivity to the Lord Yeshua and replace it with a spiritual truth from the Word of God that will lead you to the place you need to be with him. Let's look at some examples of a few people who did this, starting with our father Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Starting in verse 1. Genesis 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread. Then in verse 9, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore she laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall surely bear a child since I am old? And now turn to Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. It means laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. You see, God had a plan for Abraham and Sarah that belied their advanced age. They could have clung to the belief that they were too old and prohibited God from performing his miracle. But it says that Abraham trusted God and believed him, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, even though in the natural it seemed impossible. And then the Lord says, take this child of promise in Genesis 22 and go up to the mountains of Moriah, and I'm going to ask you to sacrifice your son. And Abraham did it. He obeyed God without flinching because he fully believed that even if he did kill Isaac on that altar, that the Lord was able to raise him from the dead and bring him back to life to fulfill the promise that he had been given. But some of us receive a promise from the Lord, and it doesn't happen for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. Oh, God's never going to fulfill that promise. I'm not worthy to fulfill the call that he put on my life. I'm too old now to do it. I'm too young. I'm not able. And we lose the chance to fulfill a higher calling or a higher destiny with God because of the way we think in our own mind and the negative thoughts that we allow to be there. Abraham could have done that. Sarah could have done that. And where would the whole nation of Israel be if Isaac had never been born? And God would have found somebody else, I suppose, some other people group that the Messiah could have come from. Now turn with me to Numbers chapter 14, another example. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes when the other spies gave a negative report. And they spoke to all the generation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But the entire congregation wanted to stone them for giving a good report because of their fear and because of the mentality they brought with them out of Egypt of being slaves, having things given to them in exchange for their labor, which kept them shackled and in bondage. Now in verse 21 of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 21. The Lord is saying, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And in Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold," listen to what Caleb said, "and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said, all these 45 years. 45 years he waited. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Now, that might not have literally been true, but for him it was true because he believed it in his heart. "As you thinketh in your heart, so shall ye be." As a man thinketh in his heart, as a woman thinketh in her heart, as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard it, that how the Abraham was there, the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance, just as the Lord had promised. "I'm too old. It's been too long. Boy, I sure have a grudge against those other spies who made us wait another 40 years to get our inheritance. I could hold bitterness in my heart and never forgive them, and I wouldn't get my inheritance either because I'd be so bitter and forlorn and cast down that I wouldn't have good thoughts in my mind about what the Lord had told me." Caleb could have said all those things, but instead, he held on to that promise for 45 years. And he went to Joshua and he said, "I'm just as strong and able today as I was 45 years ago. Give me my mountain." Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you that if you think rightly, if you cling to the promises that the Lord has given to you, no matter how long you have to wait, and if you have a right spirit in your heart about these things, that you will inherit your own personal mountain and you will fulfill the call of God in your life. But you have to have a right thinking in your own mind about those things. You can't abandon your thoughts the minute things turn negative, the minute circumstances seem to be bad for you. That would lead you into bitterness and unforgiveness and negativity. But clinging to God's promise could lead you to peace and joy, because the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But yet I look around and I see Christians all over the world and in the United States who aren't having a life filled with peace and joy, and I ask myself why, and my conclusion has to be that part of the reason is the way that they think about themselves and their situation, that they're focusing on the world instead of on the promises of God. They're focusing on what they don't have instead of what we have in Him. It's so easy to fall into that. I'm not saying that what I'm, you know, talking about is simple, but I'm saying that it's the most worthwhile thing we can be doing when we're exercising how we think, is to think rightly about God and His promises and the benefits of being a believer, and not about the things that we see in the world that are trying to drag us down. The devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, but God came to give life, life abundantly, so that you could be an inheritor of His kingdom, a co-inheritor with Yeshua, and have all the promises that are due. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. It's describing what I told you already about Abraham. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of his faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. See, if you don't feel like you can do this on your own, you don't have to. You can pray that God will give you grace to help you keep your thoughts focused on him and his kingdom, and he will pour out grace on you when you give him glory. Have worship music at home. Have your Bibles available and well used. And when things start coming against you in the world, you start praising God and giving him glory, and he will pour out grace so that you can think rightly and tell the demons that want to take away your joy, I belong to Yeshua, I'm a child of the living God, I'm an inheritor of the kingdom, and you have no place in my home. Get the hell out of here. You know? As he thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. If you think that you have authority to take power over demons that are tormenting you, and you call on that authority with all your heart, they will flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he must flee, it says in my Bible. On Thursday, we have our prayer meeting, and there were people with needs. And one of the things that we prayed was that they would take authority over the tormenting spirits that were troubling them and their family, and they would rise up with passion and power and be who they are in Messiah and cast out those tormenting spirits and make their home a place of joy and peace instead of a place of torment. And I pray that that will happen. Let's give one more example from the Word of God about somebody who trusted what he knew the truth of God was instead of what people were telling him. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. These scriptures are not here by accident, folks. They're here so that we can learn from them, and we can use them and apply them to our own lives and our own situations. Now, you might not have a 9-foot-tall giant armed with armor and a spear named Goliath standing before you, cursing you with all his gods and wanting to cut off your head. But you probably have some problem or some mountain or some other physical anomaly that's tormenting you and is threatening to steal your joy and your peace and your comfort from the world. And you need to stand up to that mountain the same way David stood up to the giant in his life. So here's how we do it. In verse 28, remember that David's father called him and said, take some food and go up and see how your three older brothers are doing at the battle. So he went there innocently at the instruction of his father. But his brother, Eliab, now think about this. When Samuel came to Jesse's home, he said he was there to pick one of the sons to anoint him as the new king because Saul had lost favor and trust of God. And so he brings out the oldest, strongest son, Eliab. And Samuel says, no, that's not the one. And he brings out the next oldest son, bigger and stronger than the others. And he said, no, that's not the one. And he prays all seven of his older sons in front of Samuel, and they say, no, no, that's not the one. Don't you have any other sons? And finally, they bring in the youngest, little David, and he said, this is the one, and anoint him. He's going to be king. So there's got to be a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of anger in their heart toward their brother David from these older boys, I would think. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, probably fueled by jealousy, and the devil there and whispering in his ear, go put that boy down. He's not better than you. You should have been anointed king. His anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and those people answered him as the first ones had. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, now this is the king talking. First it's his brother, then it's the king. You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. So two people now have told him, you're not the one for the job. You're too young. You're not strong enough. And David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David understood covenant. He knew who he was in the Lord. He knew that the covenant that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said that the Lord would win the battle for him over someone who wasn't in covenant with the Lord, and that he wouldn't be fighting alone. He wouldn't be a youth who was too weak or too small or too young or too arrogant, as his brother and the king had told him. But he would be a representative of Yehovah, the great God of heaven, who told him, I will fight the battles for you. That's what he believed in his heart. That's why he prevailed. As ye thinketh in your heart, so shall ye be. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now, Goliath comes out, and he says to David, he says in verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by all his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now that's a third person who came against him, cursed him, and told him he wasn't fit for the job at hand. And he didn't believe that guy either, even though he was 9 feet tall and he was standing right in front of him. And all the other warriors of the armies of Israel were shaking in their armor and were afraid to go out against Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a spear and a sword and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. As ye thinketh in your heart, so shall ye be. And that's what happened. David thought rightly, and God delivered the enemy into his hand. How many believe that he had the strength and stamina to take one stone and kill a giant with it? Or maybe when the stone struck Goliath's head, the Lord gave it a little extra push and helped him win that battle. So, Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. Let's look at some other Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things.
Yes.
See, God is telling us, his children, when your lips speak right things, my heart rejoices. And if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice for you. He wants us to think right things, to speak right things, and to have a heart that's right in his sight. That's why David prayed, give me a clean heart and renew a steadfast and right spirit within me in Psalm 51. Okay, look at verse 26 of Proverbs 23. It says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. You see, when we give God our hearts, it's a demonstration to him that we have a teachable spirit, and he'll show us the way that we're to go. He'll show us how he plans to accomplish the things he's promised in our lives, one step at a time, maybe. He's not going to lay out the whole picture of your future for you. Sorry. But he will show you the next step. And if you take it in faith, he'll show you the one after that. It sometimes is a difficult way to proceed in life when you're in the world and Satan is distracting you with busyness. But if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all the things you need are going to be added unto you. And if you think rightly and have a heart that's for God, he will direct your steps. And when he's directing your steps, you're on the right path. And that's where the peace and joy comes from, is being on the path of God's choosing and knowing that you're in right standing with him every step of the way. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Or a person's heart reveals the person. It's another way of saying the same thing, I guess. But if you think in your heart that you're too whatever to do the job, that will be true. But if you think in your heart that you can do all things through Messiah who strengthens you, that will become true in your life. So when the devil comes and says you're too busy, you're too weak, you're too young, you're too poor, you're too fat, you're too old, or you're too something to do what God is asking you to do, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. And you find a truth in the Word of God to counteract what the evil spirits are trying to get you to believe about yourself. They can't take you away from Yeshua. They know that they can't, but they can try to make you ineffective for the God's kingdom. And so their strategy is, how can I make this saint ineffective for the kingdom of God? Since I can't steal them away, I'm going to make them of no purpose, no use for God. And you cooperate with that when you think in your own mind negative thoughts about yourself. You cooperate with God when you read scriptural truths over yourself. Which side of this age-long war do you want to find yourself counted on? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you thinketh in your heart, so are you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, as Ed would say, Philip to Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. That's a promise you can come to when the devil tries to torment you. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things and not on the things that are negative, the things that are busy, the things that are keeping you distracted in the world. That's what the Word of God says we are to do. Verse 13, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. If that isn't one of your favorite scriptures, I pray that it will be. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's not like God has left us directionless. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness in his word. And he's given us examples from people in both the Old and New Covenant scriptures who lived their life according to the promises of God and the faith and trust in God, and they accomplished wonderful things. And there's people in our midst who are accomplishing things because they trust in and believe in and fully accept God's word in their life, and you can be one of them. All of you, each and every one of you. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand from the beginning of the world. He ordained these things, that we should walk in them. The only thing that prevents you from walking in the things that God created before the foundation of the world for you to do is the way you think about yourself and what you believe about yourself. That's what's, if it's not happening, the reason it's not is because of your thoughts and your beliefs about your circumstances and where is your focus. If you're focused on the world and on all the things that are happening around you and not on God, his kingdom, and his word, then that's why you might not be doing the works that were prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. I pray that this is going to get in so deep into people's hearts and minds that whenever they have a negative thought, they'll remember something about this and they'll go right to Scripture and counteract it with the truth that's in the Word of God. Proverbs 15 and verse 30 said, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes even their bones healthy. Now remember that there was 10 who gave a negative report and 2 who gave a good report when the spies went out into the land of Israel. And in Isaiah 53, it says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I mean, if you're born again, if you're a believer, you have believed at least a portion of the report concerning Yeshua the Messiah. What I'm telling you is that there's more that you can believe and access that will allow things to manifest in your life that you've wanted and desired, and it's how you think in your own mind that might be preventing you. And I'm trying to open your thoughts to that concept so that you can take control of it and have power over even your own thoughts, taking every thought that's against God's purpose captive to Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. And then you can rule and reign in this life and in the one to come with him. Our promises are not only for eternity after this life, but it's so we can rule and reign now, here on earth. It's for now.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So you can actually speak health and wellness into your own life just by how you speak and the words that you use. We want to cooperate with your best plan for our life. And we can do it having our words that we speak under control. So, Lord, pour out grace. We can't do it on our own. We need your grace and your mercy and your provision to accomplish what we're praying for. But we believe that you are fully able. You are fully able to give us everything we need for life and godliness in Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen.